Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is another member of the creative team bringing us Project Blue Book, actor Michael Harney, who plays General Hugh Valentine. And I've seen the first couple episodes of season two, and there's a growing, what I see as deviousness in the general that I'm much appreciating, because it's adding a flavor to the series that borders on a little bit of danger for our two main characters, and I am hoping to explore that a little bit more. Welcome, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
So how did you come to Project Blue Book?
How did I come to Project Blue Book? But I think the guys had been thinking of me for a while to play Valentine. That's what they told me. And we just kind of met in the middle. You know, I really got turned on by the idea. The whole concept of UFOs has been a very deep interest of mine for a long time. I never really went down the rabbit hole with it until I started the show, but I've always been very interested in it. And it was funny, you know, Dr. Hynek's book I read a long, long time ago when I was in college, and then I just kind of, you know, it went away. But I remember after reading about him and what he was saying, I remember thinking, man, this is just so amazing, and it just expanded the way that I looked at things as a young man, you know, in my early 20s. So it was great for me to have a full circle experience and having the privilege and opportunity to work you know, with these amazing people that I'm working with.
Was there anything that you learned when you came to the show that sort of changed your understanding or interest in what you had read back then?
Yes, of course. I really had no idea about any type of suppression of information. I really had no, as a young man, I really didn't know the scope of how things could be changed, how ideas or facts even could be harnessed and utilized to move people in specific directions in many different ways. In other words, I had no real understanding, and I still don't. I mean, I'm an outsider. All I can do, I mean, I'm basically a behaviorist, right? I have to embody characters. So my work is really about imagination and also behavior, how I can bring behavior that's truthful to the screen that will embody this character so that people will say, hey, you know, that guy is, that's him, you know. So I really had no idea about the intelligence aspect of things, and that's really blown my doors off, you know, looking into that.
So what were your feelings on UFOs before you came to the show?
I believed in them. I'm very open as a person. I'm just very open. So I read articles and had conversations with people and watched documentaries. And I felt that there's got to be something to this, you know. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. If there's smoke somewhere, you know, you're going to see some fire, right? So I was leaning in the direction of feeling that they were real. So, and frankly, I after doing the work that I've been doing on it, I feel that they are here. They've been with us. And well, anyway, I'll let you start asking questions and we can get into that.
Well, how is what you knew before the show and what you've learned since then, how does that color your approach to portraying General Valentine? Because like I said, the first three episodes of season two, I'm seeing a deeper agenda, and it appears to be bordering on the dangerous side, and I like it.
I got to keep my eye on you. Anyway, I'm gifted to know people that work in intelligence and our military. And, I always feel, first of all, I feel a tremendous degree of respect for them. Because I think that the information that they have to hold is very vast and is very life-changing. So that as a platform, let me just say that for Valentine, one of the real people that I'm modeling this after was very, several of them actually, were very influential in the creation of the CIA and worked heavily and very deeply in military intelligence prior to that. So it really has to do with me being in the know in a way, in a big way. And then while knowing information, only releasing it in certain areas, under certain security clearances, and not releasing it in other areas. That's just one small example of what kind of dance one has to do in that type of a position. For me, as I approach it and as I try it to the best of my ability to embody it, the deviousness of it, I don't really know. I'm not, any character that I play, I always try to find the positive. I can't play somebody that I don't like, right? Mm-hmm. So what I do is I find a positive. And in this instance, it's really national security. You know, what is this going to mean in terms of national security? You know, the United States had a nuclear bomb. Our first nuclear bomb went off in 1945, I think it was, and Russia was 49. So we're living in a time when people are scared, where there are drills in schools for little children running under desks. People are building bomb shelters in the backyard. The threat, the ever existing threat is all around us of invasion of some kind. So why I'm saying this is because there has to be a degree of temperament. There has to be a tempering of that. And certainly the release of information that would lead to the existence of extraterrestrial life and alien life coexisting with us could really put us over the tipping point here at that time, right? Mm-hmm. Making a country quite hysterical if not handled properly. So there has to be a position, is what I'm saying. I think ultimately you have to try to do the most life-affirming thing for the population in that type of a position. And in my work, that's what I'm trying to do.
How does General Valentine approach balancing his beliefs, what he's doing for the best of the country, with his ordering General Harding to do certain tasks and his oversight of Captain Quinn and Dr. Hynek? Because he's got maybe 1.5 loose cannons on his deck, and he's trying to literally keep the rabbit under the hat.
You know, that's such an excellent question. Thank you for doing your work, because that's really at the core of what I believe is going on. You know, people we are in a position in the military where we have to follow orders, right? So there's got to be numerous occasions whereby we have to do things that are not in our philosophical vision, right? In our belief system, but we do it for the greater good, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a balancing act. I look at it when I do walk in the shoes of this guy, which is kind of crazy walk, you know, for me as an artist to do that. It's quite a privilege. And, you know, one of the first things I always feel is this weight. And I'm not talking about the extra pounds that I'm carrying around, so don't get smart. I'm talking about the weight of what I have to do, the decisions that I have to make in this. So one of the things that happens for me is that there's a sense of carrying my own point of view, if you will, or my own vision of how I want the world to be, or what my personal perspective is, and then adding on to that all of the information that comes to me from all of the different angles, from all of the different sources, both our own, those of our enemies, those people who are working in intelligence, not just from our country, but from all countries, all the reports that come in from people that are doing missions for our country that come to my desk. Everything has to be weighed, and that to me, that's just this amazing weight. And also with that comes this knowing. You have to contain that information, and the containment of that information and still staying fully functional in that position. And in my case, with Valentine, using, you know, going from, you know, meetings at the White House to coming back and doing a purely a military maneuver, you know, going into, you know, dealing with military objectives, political objectives, swaying points of view in terms of people that are have a say in Washington. It's a tremendous pressure. It's a tremendous amount of just pressure. And I hope that's being relayed in some way. I hope that answers your question.
I have seen some reactions to that pressure in season two that I've seen so far, and yeah, it's there. So for you, what has been the most enjoyable or the most fun about playing General Valentine and interacting with all these great actors?
Well, you know, for me, working with Neil is a great gift. He's a wonderful man and become a good friend. So it's just a really good experience working with him every day, showing up on set. And then I have, you know, this is a huge undertaking for David and Sean, Robert Zemeckis, everybody. I've never been on a show that has the technological reach that this show has. And, you know, on any given day, we're walking into a huge airplane hangar with a tremendous green screen, you know, and or we're walking into a hangar and there's flying saucers all over the place and versions of the old ships, you know, Flying Wing, the Stogie, you know, the tail sitter. You know, you're standing there, you're looking around at all these amazing vehicles, and it's just as an actor, I try to stay as being a kid as much as I can, to be open, to be transparent, so that I can deliver, you know, the information that I pour in from my research, right? So for me, it's just an amazing trip, one that I'm very privileged to participate in.
Yeah, some of the ships, and for me also the cars. The just keeping the period, the period design is just such amazing detail. I'm constantly in awe. I'm like, where did they get that car?
Well, these guys are amazing. These guys that work in our business, they can find anything. They can find anything. People don't realize that, you see these cars and you see these vehicles, and they don't see the Vikings that are moving that stuff around behind the scene, that we have working for us, that all of them hearts of gold, and they're moving this stuff around. And some days I just stop and I just stand and I just watch, and I said, man, there's 150 guys here and gals, running around making this happen. And it's really kind of awesome. You just, for me, I never lose the respect of our crew. I've always felt that way since I began in the business almost 40 years ago. I just have tremendous respect for our crews because they, frankly, pardon my language, but they work their ass off. So.
That they do. They do the magic behind the scenes. So everything in front that we see on the screen is as perfect as it can be.
That's right.
For you, have you gotten any fan feedback on being General Valentine?
I'm a very private person, and I'm under the wire most of the time. So the feedback I've gotten, I reach out to people that I respect, and they seem to like it. So I guess it's okay, I'm kind of out of it for that, I just kind of love going, showing up and bringing it to life as best I can.
Well, you have an Instagram account, and there seem to be a number of especially older people that you're meeting who are appreciating a lot of the work you've done, not just on Project Blue Book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people really, I'm gifted with hearing and seeing that. I have to be honest, I spend about 2 or 3 minutes a day on Instagram. I have a friend of mine who's a prolific writer, and I say this because I'm just, sometimes it's very foreign to me. The technology is just, personally, I just find it difficult. But my friend was being driven down to Palm Springs, and it was when smartphones started blowing up, and he's this prolific writer, and the phone just started nonstop going off in the back seat. He just pushed the button on the the window in the back seat of this limo, and he just threw the phone out into the desert, and that was it. He never had a phone again after that, So I can't do that because I want to stay in touch with my loved ones, but and certainly I have to stay in touch with my team, and when I'm certainly on the show, I have to know where I'm going and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not too much on that, but I'm very grateful for people that are into what I'm doing. It's always a real plus for me, and inspiring.
So are you working on anything else in addition to Project Blue Book right now that people can check you out in?
Yeah, well, I'm writing. I like to write quite a bit. And I was very privileged years ago. I had my first series of one-act plays done by the Actors Studio here in Los Angeles.
Nice.
And it was a wonderful, wonderful evening. Work these actors that came in, and my friend Mark came in and directed, Mark Kimball. He's the artist in residence at the Actors Studio, and it was just really wonderful. I felt very gifted. So I'm working again now. My mentor is David Milch, and I'm working to create another series of plays. I'm also working on a teleplay as well. As an actor, I'm working playing Stephen Dorff's father in the new show Deputy.
Oh, yeah.
On Fox. And I just did something for Doom Patrol where I'm playing Brendan Fraser's father. So, you know, I don't know. Is it the gray hair? You think
there's a lot of fan cachet in being the father of a superhero or just a hero in general. So I'd run with that.
Yeah, I'd run with it. I did Them Covenant, too. I played Allison Pill's dad in a very eerie kind of horror genre piece that we did. It was very interesting. So I just feel, you know, again, I'm always very grateful to be working. I look forward to going back on Blue Book, you know.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I would like to thank you so much for sharing your time today. I don't often get a chance to dive into the gray area characters too much, but this one really caught my attention. So thank you, sir.
You're welcome, ma'am. And thank you for doing your work. I'm glad that you went deep enough to see a big part of what I'm trying to convey. So thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. And I hope the fans will tune in and see that as well. Project Blue Book debuted Tuesday, January 21st. Your second and third episodes are coming up. History Channel, 10 p.m. on Tuesdays. Check it out. But we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up to date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
That was such a fun interview. And definitely keep an eye on Project Blue Book. If you are a fan and have been watching, the next couple of episodes are going to blow your socks off. And I can't wait till I get to see the next batch of screeners from History Channel, because I hate waiting. And I hate the commercials. No, that's not true. I love the commercials because the commercials bring in money for History Channel, and that money lets them keep Project Blue Book in production. So, yay, commercials. And just for the heck of it, I'm going to check out that episode of Deputy where he shows up as Stephen Dorff's father. Just for the fun of it. Not a lot to report right now. Magicians is back on the air, and You may see a few hiccups and bumps on the website over the next few weeks. I'm trying to fix a few things, make the site a little bit more friendly, and hopefully get more eyes on the site and more listeners on the show and getting to a point where I need to find something to do, something else to do. My other revenue streams are, shall we say, coming to an end. And I'm not sure what else to try next, but I'm working on it. Either way, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Player FM. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher, please leave us a review. More reviews means more people checking out what the show is about, and we need that right now. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Slice of Sci-Fi, and yes, I will respond to most inquiries, questions about shows, questions about movies, and the occasional question about book adaptations or adaptations of books to movies or stories or just sci-fi geekery in general or horror geekery in general. You can also follow us on YouTube and Facebook. We are Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, there is the website, the hub of all of this geeky madness, sliceofscifi.com. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping support the show. Your support means more now than ever. Thank you so much, every one of you. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. But if you want to support and don't feel like committing to a monthly pledge, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And as I said before, every dime helps keep all of this online. And thank you all for your support. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.